This is Vatican Radio, and I am Lydia O'Kane. Many people will have heard of the Vatican Secret Archives, which houses priceless documents going back centuries. But the Jesuits have their own archive here in Rome, which contains material from the 1530s until the present day. The records are made up of 2 kilometres of shelving and is the archive of the central governance of the Jesuit order. I spoke to the director of the Jesuit archives, Father Brian McCorta, SJ, to find out more about this treasure trove.
Jesuit archives, 2 kilometres of shelving. It contains materials from the 1530s until the present day. It is the archives of the central governance of the Jesuit order, so that means that it involves, it conserves all the major correspondence from Father General to the different Jesuit groupings throughout the world, and the correspondence arriving from the different Jesuit leaders in the different places back to Father General. So it contains materials from all the 5 continents where Jesuits have been active and continue to be active. It is very much a working archive in that it's in function of the governance of Father General, but at the same time it is very much accessible to the scholarly public. We have about 400 researchers come to the archives every year, on average every day between 10 and 12 students. Materials are available up until the year 1939. Everything before that date is available for academic research. The materials are in a huge range of languages, not only Latin, but also in Italian, French, Portuguese, Spanish. We would also have materials, a huge collection in Chinese. Very interesting collection is the collection of about 500 printed Chinese books. These are books which Jesuits wrote in China between roughly 1600s, 1590s, up until the suppression of the society in 1773. And the rule was, and continues to be, that Jesuits, when they write a book, they are to send a copy of the book to Father General. So the men in China were very obedient to that rule. So we have this magnificent collection of about 500 books, printed books in Chinese, not only catechetical materials for the Chinese Catholic community, but also works on mathematics and on astronomy and on physics. So that is a particularly rich part of our collection. I suppose I would also like to mention Vietnam. In the mid-1620s, the Jesuits arrived in Vietnam and they worked there, and one of them, Alexander Rhodes, was very involved in making available the Vietnamese language, but in a Western script. And so he was contributed greatly to that particular process in Vietnamese culture and language. We have, from all those places, Jesuits were required every year to write an annual letter to Father General. And the letter was supposed to detail what the Jesuits were doing in those places, their pastoral work, helping people in parishes and in preaching and in missions and in sharing the Christian faith and Catholic faith with them. But also they were asked, the writers of the letters were asked to note any particular interesting things that were happening in the country that were affected the Catholic community.
So would you have things maybe to do with the First and Second World War, the kind of, you know, particular events in history?
We do. I mean, even, yes, very much so. There would be reports, certainly, from people's experience of, for example, again, just going back to Vietnam, they were describing things like regime changes when there were wars in the particular country, a change of dynasty. They would describe things like events like famines, hurricanes, pestilences. They would describe also sometimes natural phenomena like volcanoes and those types of natural phenomena. But regarding the more recent war times in Europe, They would describe also the effects of the various invading armies into different places at different times. There would be descriptions of how various military forces would have come in and taken over Jesuit buildings at a particular time. Extremely rich, because these were men who were on the spot. They are writing first-hand accounts of what was happening. And for that reason, these materials are very precious. And the Jesuits were men who had received a very strong literary education, but also a scientific education here in the Roman College here in Rome. So when they went out to places outside of Europe, they were often the first people, or among the earliest of the people, to give detailed descriptions of what they saw. And for example, the different plants in the whole area of Latin America, they wrote natural histories of those places. And so for all of these reasons, Jesuits were interested in everything from mathematics to plants to biology to history to archaeology to the weather to the social organisations of the people. Obviously, clearly, they learned the languages of the local peoples in Asia, in Africa and in Latin America. They provided dictionaries and grammars of those languages. So all of this means that the archives is extremely rich for research.
So would you have archives of maybe Jesuit saints? Do you have
that? We have a whole section on the process of canonization for Jesuit saints, with obviously with testimonies as to their what's called the heroic virtue.
Well, I'm going to bring in a new blessed. I'm going to bring in Father John Sullivan.
Who's yes.
Things like that. But obviously for even the Jesuit community, having somebody like that being now kind of being made a blessed, it must be a great honor again.
Indeed. Just
and for the work that he has done in his role, in the teaching role, and in his role as in helping the sick, and in what he did at the time.
Very much so, yes. And also with Father John Sullivan, born, but as far as I remember, 1860, died about 1933 or so. He is a figure who is a bridge figure between, if you like, obviously clearly the Irish Catholic world, Jesuits as part of that, but also from his father's side of the family, from the Church of Ireland. As we know, he was born into the Church of Ireland, baptised into the Church of Ireland, went to school at Portora in County Fermanagh in Ireland, present-day Northern Ireland, a student of Trinity College Dublin, which at that time had closer links with the Church of Ireland. So his faith life, in a sense, was formed by that Christian tradition, the Anglican Christian tradition. Mm. So we can rejoice in this recognition of him, not only as an individual, but also as a point of confluence between the Anglican and our own Roman Catholic traditions.
Do you ever open up maybe a case full of documents or a thing and almost get a surprise for what you're saying? Oh, a letter, a document that you never knew was there, that maybe it's a document that a Jesuit wrote, maybe it was a letter he received from somebody else, or maybe it was a king or a queen, or something that maybe you kind of wasn't expecting to be there. Do you ever get surprised by what you find and what the kind of a rich find that it is?
Indeed, in fact, regularly. I think that is part of the responsibility of an archivist, is not only to conserve the materials in our care, but also to make them available to the academic public. In order to make them available to the public, we have to go through them, we have to make lists, and our team have done marvellous works in making those lists so that people can find materials easily and quickly. At the moment, we have we have many collections that are awaiting attention. Here, from an Italian perspective, if I remember correctly, it was Jesuits of the province of one of the southern Italian provinces, I think it was Naples, who became missionaries in the Midwest of the United States from 1860 onwards. So we're talking about the Rockies, Colorado, New Mexico, Arizona. So we have a stack of their letters and their writings from those areas. areas from the 1860s, remembering that this was just at about the time when the Midwest was being opened up with railways, and they were, those areas were very, very isolated still at that time. So you have this group of Italian Jesuit missionaries who are working there. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what our team will discover in those particular files.
Final question. Dare I say, probably your most famous Jesuit is living here in Rome, Pope Francis. Is he encouraged to send his writings to you? Is he, anything that he's written, does he, is it sent down to you? Or how does, for a Pope, that's a Jesuit Pope, does he fit into the archive in some shape or form?
Well, the Holy Father joins the society at a certain time. He, as a result, he leaves his imprint in our archives in terms of taking vows, in terms of incorporation into the society, in terms of his work in fulfilling various roles in the Argentine province, of which he was provincial. Yes, that as for all Jesuits, the record of various activities becomes part of the body of materials that we have in the archive.